Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Logic Sports NFL Sunday podcast. I'm Shamar Davis, and I'm joined by Dan Pleat.
What's up?
And our guest from the St. John's podcast, Nick Bonomo.
Yo.
And today's week 8 is going to be an exciting week in football. And like we do every week, we go over 3 games, one at each time slate. And at the 1 o'clock time slate, we're going to go Carolina Panthers versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Panthers are 4-2, Ravens 4-3. Panthers had a comeback win last week, and the Ravens lost in a heartbreaker as Justin Tucker missed an extra point, his first of his career, that would have sent it to overtime. But let's start with the Ravens. They kind of been a surprise team of the year, kind of. One of the surprise teams, I should say. And they're going against Cam Newton and the Panthers. What do you think that the Ravens has to do to win this game? We'll start with you, Nick.
Well, I think the Ravens have been all year they've definitely had a very good defense. Joe Flacco's been very average. He hasn't lost any games. He hasn't really won them any games. Mm-hmm. And I think all they really have to do, I don't think the Panthers are that great of a team. I think they just, they kind of, everything through them goes directly through Cam Newton. If Cam Newton's having a bad game, they're not going to do anything. If he's having a very good game, then they put up a lot of points. And they've done that multiple times this year. I mean, you saw last week they were bad for 3 quarters and ended up putting up 21 points. And then against the Giants, they put up like 40 points or something crazy.
It was like 31, I want to say. It was like 30. It was like 38, high 30s.
Yeah.
How about you, Dan?
I think they have to stick to their defense. Like Nick said, Cam Newton really, they have to rely on him so much that, like, if Suggs is getting to him a lot and, like, C.J. Mosley's, like, jamming it up in the middle, I mean, I think Baltimore could have a really good day, honestly.
I think Baltimore is, like, one of those teams that every year they come out, they're very, like, they're always close to .500, and then they're always pushing for a playoff spot, and it's always a wild card spot, but this year, I mean, they can go out and they can win their division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've looked really solid. Like, they've beaten, like, the Steelers, and, like, that's always a hard division game to play. Like, they've beaten some good teams.
And they could have beat the Saints.
And I really think they have just, yeah, they really could have, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's no way that Justin Tucker should have missed it, that extra point. He was 222 for 222.
If they ran it back, it would
be
different.
That's insane. So, yeah. I mean, the fact that that happened, it's like, you never know, they could have had another win. So, like I said, like, their defense has been stepping up this year, looking like a really good defense, probably top 10 at this point. And I think they just have to stick to that to really shut down Cam Newton and, like, McCaffrey.
Yeah,
I like it because their front seven is built to stop, like, a run-first offense, and the Panthers are definitely one with McCaffrey and Cam, obviously.
C.J. Anderson, who hasn't even been touching the ball this year.
Haven't been doing much with him, but having Terrell Suggs and Matt Judon for the Ravens as your outside pass rushers, that can really help you, I think, contain Cam Newton. Like, Suggs is a veteran, and Matt Judon, he's young, but he's very athletic and very physical. And same with C.J. Mosley, he's one of the best young linebackers in the league. So I think if you look at it from a matchup standpoint, the Ravens look good when you look at it defense versus offense. But I'm just curious what their offense can do against the Panthers' defense. As you know, the Eagles last week, they're a pretty good offense. They kind of struggled against the Panthers. And the Panthers' defense kind of been having a lot of good games besides the Giants game. So do you think the Ravens can do anything?
I'm still going to stick with the Ravens here. Like, it's weird because I feel like the past few years it's been like going into the season, I'm like, Steelers got the division. Bengals might, like, try and get them. But because Flacco was there, I was like, they're not really going to do much. This year is kind of different. And I'm not saying Flacco is, like, amazing because he hasn't done anything, like, great to win a game. But he's been good enough. And his receivers have helped him out so much. The addition of Crabtree, Brown, well, not, was Brown already on
the
team?
Yeah, no, John Brown was an addition.
Yeah, an addition to Brown, and then Snead also. Like, he's really using those receivers so well. Like, I saw an article the other day that said John Brown's trying to be the new Antonio Brown, and I'm not going to lie, like, I don't think that was so far-fetched. Like, John Brown looks so good this year, and it's not just, like, because he's fast. Like, his route running's been so precise. He's been able to catch the ball, like not be able to drop it, not dropping that much. Like, I really think that offense is kind of renewed at this point.
It almost feels like Joe Flacco is, like, scared for his job this year.
Yeah.
Like, all that pressure about Lamar Jackson,
and he's showing that he's got too.
He's showing that everyone thought, is Joe Flacco over, or when's it going to be Lamar Jackson time, whether it's going to be Joe Flacco getting benched or him getting hurt, like it seems like he does every single year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been taking a lot of hits, he hasn't been turning the ball over as much as he usually does, and he's been having solid games.
Yeah, he has. Joe Flacco, he just knows that, yeah, there's someone breathing down his neck, and that's Lamar Jackson. And really, no one's really going to look at Joe Flacco's performance. They're just going to look at wins and losses. So yeah, as long as he keeps putting up W's, then he'll be fine. And, like, it definitely makes him nervous how he sees Lamar Jackson getting on the field, definitely in, like, the red zone and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, but I like how the Ravens use both of them. Like, they don't really use Lamar Jackson that much, but, like, in the red zone and stuff, they get real creative. So, Joe Flacco is a big arm quarterback, and he's showed that he's good enough to win a Super Bowl, but the past couple years, he kind of fell off. But against the Panthers defense, they're vulnerable, and they have a good receiving core. Like you said earlier, they added all of them basically in the offseason, and they've been working out perfectly fine for Joe Flacco. So I want to ask you guys your predictions for the game, score predictions.
Well, personally, like, I think the Ravens will win. I really think Flacco's going to keep it away from, like, the linebackers, since Carolina's got really good linebackers. And they're kind of trying to go to the outside like he usually does with Brown and Crabtree and stuff. So I'm going to go Ravens 20-25, and I'll go Panthers 14.
Yeah, I'm agree with Dan. Say stay with the Ravens. I think obviously the AFC is wide open this year, and the Panthers are one of those teams that the Ravens are one of those teams that are going to be fighting for a spot. I mean, everyone knows it's going to be Patriots versus who in the AFC Championship game. And
you never know.
I mean, the Ravens could make a run. You really don't know. Joe Flacco's had that experience. He's only been in the playoffs, I mean, a couple of times.
Flacco,
I mean, he's gotten there.
Kobe Jones gets it done. It's all you need.
And I'm going to go with the Ravens winning the game 24-10.
I like the Ravens, too. I just think it's going to be a really low-scoring game. I think I'm going to go Ravens 14-10. I just think their defense can contain Cam. And the Panthers' defense, they're pretty good, too. And I don't think the Ravens' offense is, like, really crazy. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, 14-10 Ravens. But speaking of the Ravens, that leads us into the question of the day. And it had to deal with the Baltimore Ravens. And I was just looking at it. And since they won the Super Bowl in 2012...
Oh, gosh.
My question is, how many playoff appearances do they have since their Super Bowl, not including their Super Bowl? How many playoff appearances do the Baltimore Ravens
since
have?
Since
6 years?
Yeah, in those 6 years. Well, five competed seasons.
I know it's at least two, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Can I go to the same thing as him? I think it's two.
Nah, I need different answers.
Right, I'll say one.
Okay. All right, well, we'll get to that before easy pickings later on. But we're going to move on to the 4 o'clock game. And 4 o'clock game is the Green Bay Packers going into L.A. to play the undefeated Los Angeles Rams. First, I just want to start, and this game definitely caught my eye. I think off the start, I'm going to say this, I think the Rams lose their first game this year to Aaron Rodgers.
That's bold, but I can see it, I guess.
I mean, like, I don't really see, like, a lot of teams beating the Rams, but if someone's going to do it, it would be Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think at this point, like, your luck starts running out. Not, like, luck, like, they're obviously a good team, but going undefeated doesn't happen often. You saw the Chiefs lose to Brady, so let's bring out the NFC Brady and Aaron Rodgers to beat the Rams, in my opinion. But starting off, do you think that Rodgers can do anything against this Ram defense?
I honestly do think Rodgers will probably have a really good game. But, like, sorry for going off topic, kind of, but I do think Goff will, like, just dominate it. Like, not dominate Rodgers, but dominate the Packers' defense, you know? So I think Rodgers will have a really good game. Like, he'll have a Rodgers-esque game, show up a really good defense. But I think Goff's going to keep it out of reach because Goff has so much around him.
Mm-hmm, he does. And the Packers' defense is weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is the best quarterback in the NFL. I think if anyone's going to give them their first loss and let's schedule, I mean, it's going to be the Packers.
Yeah.
Either that or a divisional team, but, I mean, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers this year has been kind of like a second-half only guy. He's been struggling in the first half, then coming out and throwing for, you know, 300 yards in the second half, 3 touchdowns, comeback wins left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, against the Rams' offense is so electric and the Packers' defense is so garbage that you can't do that. I mean, Rodgers has to keep pace with them the whole way. Otherwise, it's going to get out of hand quickly.
Yeah, he does. Like, when it comes down to it, because I didn't even think of that part, like the Rams' offense going against the Packers' defense, because the Packers have a really young defense, and the Rams' offense is just crazy. But I think that Rodgers can keep up with the Rams' offense. It's just going to be a shootout no matter what, in my opinion. Even if the Packers get blown out, they're still, I feel like, can score 24, 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Like, the Packers' offensive line is pretty good to try and contain Donald and Sue, And Rodgers is very mobile, so he can help himself out with that. And he's got weapons around him, you know? So, and what helps is that Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib have been banged up all year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They probably are playing. I haven't even looked. Like, I haven't been paying attention. But even if they are playing, they've been banged up enough that, like, Rodgers will have them running. Like, Rodgers is smart enough to know the weaknesses that he can pick at, you know? So I agree that he could definitely do it. I personally don't think he will, but I think he'll put up a lot of points, honestly. Like, this will probably be high scoring.
Randall Cobb's also coming back, so we'll see if he can actually make an impact. He hasn't really been doing anything since the first week.
Yeah, the first week he went off, but after that.
It's because of that big play. That was such a lucky play. Hate Rodgers for that.
Well,
one of the Bears.
Let's talk about the Rams offense. What do you think is the most important part of that offense? Is it Goff? Is it McVay? Is it Gurley? Is it the receivers? Like, what do you think?
It's not even close.
I think it's
easily Gurley.
I don't think it's Gurley.
Everything revolves around Gurley.
I don't think that's true.
Defenses are so worried about the run every time that they're in man coverage.
Well, yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're blitzing
disagree that it's not. Like, Gurley's obviously such a huge help.
Well, yeah, he's
but
a big
I think
part.
there's people that are, like, beyond him, because a running back, like, I know you've said this a lot, a running back cannot, like, he doesn't win games for you.
Yeah, he can't.
He's setting up the pass for Goff. How open have
but who's setting up Gurley? Like, it's because their line
Gurley's
is so
setting
good.
Setting up himself. He's
no,
that
no, no,
good.
He's very good.
He is.
He obviously makes the runs better, but the line setting up for him, Goff being able to throw to his numerous receivers who are all having, like, great seasons, like, everything
because
I think is spreading
Gurley,
out for Gurley.
I mean, like, you look at Gurley, he leads the league in rushing. Like, he's, like, the first week, he started leading the league in rushing the past week when Zeke had a bad week.
Yeah.
And, like, I just look at him from a yard standpoint, and he's obviously, like, top two in the league, top in the league in rushing, with Zeke right behind him. But the difference between him and Zeke is that he gets those touchdowns, because if you look at it, if I watch the Rams play, they're inside the five, like, every possession, and they just gave it to Gurley, and he's getting three touchdowns a
game.
This
is why Melvin Gordon is
setting
what he's
up so well. Like, Gurley's doing so much for Jared Goff, like, and it's not even really being seen, like, how hard they're blitzing so much against the Rams. It's insane. Teams, like, are so worried about Gurley that's why
I don't think they're that worried about Gurley when you still have to worry about Kupp and Woods and Cooks. Like, they're not, like, they're worried about everyone as a whole, because three receivers and then one running back. Like, they're worried
about
the receivers.
And that's what makes them worry about Goff so much. Like, Goff is a really good quarterback already, but when you give him those weapons, like, he's going to thrive so much. Like, Gurley is spreading it out for them, but I believe that they're spreading it out more for Gurley. You know what
I
mean?
So you think Goff is the most important weapon, then?
I think it's McVay, but you have to go quarterback here, because without a quarterback, you can't do anything. Because I can't say, like, if Jared Goff goes down, like, let's say he goes down today, what will the Rams be? They're going to be a completely different team. Like, especially, like, if Gurley goes down or if Goff goes down, they're going to be more effective if Goff goes down. So that's why I think it's probably Goff, because he's their quarterback. You need a quarterback to win, like, especially middle of the season, regular season. If you're trying to get to the playoffs, you need a quarterback.
I also agree with that one, but at the same time, I'm going with the coaches, specifically, like, quarterback and offensive coaches, like McVay, and then whoever his quarterback coach is now, I'm not even sure who it is. But the reason I say this is because this might sound, I guess, biased because it's about an Eagle, but Wentz, when they showed Wentz and Goff's coaches the first year they're in the league, it was, like, numerous quarterbacks, or, like, ex-quarterbacks or quarterback coaches, like qualified, really qualified, and then Goff was, like, none. Because it was Fisher was his first
horrible.
Year, and he was just...
He's a quarterback.
He killed him that year.
He's
like,
a quarterback.
Goff looked horrible. He looked horrible that year. So then you bring in McVay. You bring in the quarterback's coach, who I'm pretty sure is qualified. I know who it is if I saw it, but I can't remember right now. So the reason that Goff... Like, Goff is a really good quarterback, but they're making him, like, that much better. They're telling him the plays that he's going to, like... that he's really going to start to perfect, that nobody will be able to stop. Because these guys are such good route runners. Like, Cooks is going to beat you with his speed, but he's not tall enough to jump over you. He's going to get open. Woods, same exact thing. Like, and same with Kupp. Kupp is like a... He's kind of tall, but, like, he's a shifty kind
of
guy.
Yeah, I agree with you, kind of. Like, McVay definitely is a big part. So, like, you can't really go wrong there. But overall predictions for the Packers versus Rams, what do you think the score will be?
Go 38-37 Packers.
High scoring game. I'm going to go 42-35 Rams. Simple. Bunch of touchdowns.
I'm going 41-38 Packers. A-Rod's going to take it home on the last possession.
We shall see.
And hopefully Mason Crosby makes
the field goal. They're away, so I don't know.
Yeah, but LA's not really a home field advantage. Yeah, like they got fans from like all over the place.
If it was in Lambeau, though.
If it was in Lambeau, I think it would be over because it's probably cold in Lambeau compared to what it is in LA. But let's go to the night game and Sunday night to be more specific. And it's the New Orleans Saints going against the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, last time these teams met, you know, the Minnesota Miracle happened. But hopefully, I mean, actually, that would be kind of cool if it happened again. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good game. And I'm hoping for a
There's
good game.
There's no way Marcus Williams even dives this game. Like, he's on his feet the whole time.
But what do you think is going to happen in this game? What do you expect to see, I should say?
A lot of scoring.
I don't think so.
A lot of scoring. Kirk Cousins has been very consistent this year. I mean, as opposed to the Bills game, that was really the only poor game he had.
Yeah, that was different.
I mean, obviously, Drew Brees is Drew Brees. He's going to put up points. He's going to put up yards every single week. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, Mark Ingram coming back hasn't really been a huge impact on that offense.
His first game.
But, I mean,
he only had one game.
No, two.
He has two.
They played last week.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And I just think, like, it's obviously going to be a super high-scoring game. Like, that's really – I don't know how else to put it. Both defenses aren't really going to – I mean, the Vikings have a very good defense, but, like, it's Drew Brees. I don't know.
I don't disagree that it could definitely be a high-scoring game, but I think that even if it is high-scoring, I really think the Saints will come in and just, like, put the beat down on them. I don't know why I feel that, but I feel like they're coming with a vengeance from last year. Brees is a different monster right now, like, after passing that next record. He has all of these weapons, and Kirk Cousins, like you said, he's been pretty consistent, but you never know. Like, he could really come out and do nothing some games. Like, you saw that when he was on the Redskins. We used to watch him a lot more on the Redskins.
But he had less talent around him. He has the best receiver.
That's very true.
No, that's very true.
I think Thielen will get his, but I think that I don't think that there's anything special with, like, Latavius Murray. Like, Diggs is pretty good, but you know. But
then you also have to look at the defense they're going against that allowed 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That was when Ryan Fitzpatrick was really good.
I know, but still, they struggled.
I still think it's not a great defense, but I think it's okay enough to kind of contain them more than I think the Vikings will contain the Saints. Like, I don't think the Saints are just – I think they will just be marching down the field on them. They haven't had great games, so I could definitely be wrong.
But you don't think the Vikings are going to be able to do that on the Saints? Like, the Saints have a couple good corners.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins, I'm telling you, he makes mistakes. Like, he's good enough to make the playoffs, but he will never go – I don't think he'll ever go far.
I think he definitely could go all the way. Like, Kirk Cousins is so underrated because he was on Washington – you're looking at him on Washington, and yeah, you can look at them now with Alex Smith and they're 4-2 or whatever the record is. But just wait till the end of the season. Like, you look at Washington's team compared to Minnesota's team.
No,
like,
I agree.
Kirk Cousins never had a defense like this. He never had receivers like this. I never said that, but he's definitely built to do it. He's definitely built to do it with this team, at least. Not this year.
That team went to the conference championship
with Case Keenum, and Kirk Cousins, I think, is 10 times better than Case Keenum. Like, that's like Kirk Cousins is an NFL quarterback who's actually really good, and he is I believe he's got sacked the most times in the NFL, and he's still putting up great numbers without. Really, like, their running game has been inconsistent this year, so it's really been Kirk Cousins winning them games.
I just don't see him beating any other. Like, I just think there are so many great quarterbacks that, like, one of the greats is going
to... He tied Rodgers.
When it comes down to it, I feel like there will be a veteran quarterback that just wins it. Like, it's going to be, like, a Brady or, like, a Breeze. Like, I just don't think that he's got it right now.
Talking about this year?
Not just this year, but, like, in the coming years.
Kirk
Cousins his window
is going to win a Super Bowl. Like, I truly believe
it. I mean, he could. I'm not. He's
28, 27.
He's not that old. He's really not that old. He was drafted in 2012, so he was drafted 6-7 years ago or something like that.
He drafted with RG3.
And he actually puts up good numbers. And every game Washington has won is because of him. Like, he made mistakes, but he was on a bad team with a bad coach.
He took one of those teams in the playoffs.
He did.
With the Washington.
He did.
The Reds.
And, like, I think it doesn't always have to be a Brady or a Rivers or something like that. Because you think about it, like, who knows? Like, Nick Foles was in the conversation last year. Like, he could get matched up in a game like that. And I think Kirk Cousins can win. I'm not saying it's going to be Nick Foles specific, but, like, anything, like, you never know what can happen.
I just don't see it in him, you know, like, you said, he had that Bills game, like, just knowing that could really, like, I know
but
I've seen it from
everyone,
I agree with that, but I just feel like I've seen that, personally, like, me watching him, I feel like I've seen a lot more mistakes than other people are saying, like, that's just my opinion, I feel like I've seen a lot of that, but,
I mean, like,
never know, maybe he could.
I just think he's a name, but you actually look at the numbers, he has just as good as numbers as a lot of elite quarterbacks. Yeah. I'm not saying he's elite, but definitely in a
He's up there.
He's top 10 in my opinion, like, he might
top
be top
10, easily top 10.
Yeah, I think he might be, yeah, he's probably top 10, and if the Vikings can go to the conference championship, with Case Keenum, then they have the tools at least to get there, especially with Thielen playing out of his mind. Like, Thielen's playing out of his mind.
The NFC is just a lot.
Yeah, the NFC, it's a lot of teams. That's a lot of teams to beat, but, like, he definitely could be the one to come out just because of his team, not because he's Kirk Cousins.
They'll make the playoffs, I believe. But yeah, they'll definitely make the playoffs. That's obviously what we'll see. It'll
be tough. I don't think they'll win the
Super Bowl. They're in a hard division. I mean, they're in a hard NFC, a stacked NFC.
I think something's going to happen where, like, they will just miss their chance. I think roster wise
they could. Like, this year, if I had to choose, I would not choose the Vikings because, like you said, like a Drew Brees could beat them like easily. Like, yeah, that's hard to pick against those guys. Yeah. But definitely down, like, he has a 3-year contract with the Vikings. They could just get stronger. Like, they've had a good offseason. They picked up. They've made some good moves. They're a team that goes for a knee. So if they have a knee, they're gonna go get it, and they have the potential to. Maybe not now. Maybe now. But, like, who knows? But let's go back to the game. The Saints, I don't really know what to think of them. Like, they're obviously, in my opinion, like, I picked them to win the Super Bowl, like, before the season. I still think that, but they haven't been really showing me, like, a lot of consistency when it comes to their players. Like, I don't really know who they want to, like, involve, because Kamara started off hot, and same with Thomas, but recently they've been getting shut down. So, like, what do you think they have to do to get them more involved? I mean, not shut down, not putting out the numbers they were.
I don't know, honestly. Like, I don't think that it's a bad situation they're in right now. Like, no, what definitely. Are they? They're 4-2,
yeah,
5-2.
They're going to make the playoffs, probably. Probably
they won. Yeah. So, like, I think they're still getting into it. Like, now you have to add Mark Ingram in after the first few games. Like, they were putting up a lot of numbers without Mark Ingram. So, now adding him, you don't just want to, like not include the guy, you know? Because he's really good. Like, when you add him and Kamara together, like, that's so lethal. That's the most lethal two people in your backfield. Exactly. So then when they're so worried about Kamara getting the ball or Ingram getting the ball, you got Thomas. You got Ted Ginn when he's healthy. You got
Cam Meredith,
who we were talking about before. Like, they have pieces, and Drew Brees will just make those pieces look so much better. Like, I promise you, if Michael Thomas went to any other team that doesn't have a quarterback like a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers, he would not have had this kind of success. Yeah, Drew Brees makes this guy look amazing. Like, he really does. So, like, I think that because they have all of this, and they still have Sean Payton, a Super Bowl winning coach with his Super Bowl winning quarterback on that team, I think that they always have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And, like, I think that they'll do really well this game. Yeah, because I think they're just that lethal.
I think the Saints obviously are the second best team in the NFC right now, as of now, and I think it's going to stay that way for a while. I think it's going to be Saints Rams in the NFC Championship game.
I would love to see that.
And that'd be a great game. It'd be high scoring as hell. But with the Saints, like, I don't really see them having problems right now. I mean, I understand Michael Thomas isn't putting up.
No, they're not having problems as a team. Like, their individual players are having problems, which doesn't even matter.
They're just. Drew Brees is spreading the ball around. That's all it is.
Like, they're talking about this guy, White, coming out and doing well. What's his name? Traquan.
Traquan Smith. Yeah, Traquan Smith. Yeah, he's
saying,
like,
he's gonna do well. So I'm like, you never know.
He's like one of those guys who just make, like, the big play. Like, he's the guy who's gonna get, like, the end arounds, like, the kind of like the Tyreek Hill, but, like, not obviously not his level. Yeah. But he's the type of player to kind of spread the field. And when I think of the Saints, there's definitely, the only problem they have is their defense. But recent, like, teams, I think, are starting to figure out, like, how to slow down Kamara and Thomas. And I think, like, every team's coming in with that game plan. If you do that, that increases your chance of winning. But I think, in my opinion, I think the Vikings will do that. And if I had to predict this game, I'm going to have to go Vikings winning this game, probably 28-24, Minnesota. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go with the Saints, 35-24. I think the Saints are going to run away with it a little bit.
Yeah, I also think that. I know they're away, so maybe home field advantage will help the Vikings, but I think that Drew Brees will come out and do really well. I'm going to say 33-20.
All right, yeah. Not that bad. But so since we finished going over all the games, let's go back to the question of the day, and it was, how many playoff appearances do the Baltimore Ravens have since 2012? And I kind of did Dan a favor by making him switch, because the correct answer is 1.
Let's go. And they I knew it the whole time.
They missed the playoffs the first year after winning the Super Bowl. They made it the year after.
Freaking Bills made it last year because the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
True.
Yeah,
that would have been
so stupid.
But yeah, they since they won the Super Bowl, they really haven't been themselves since Ray Lewis retired and all that. But now let's get into easy pick-ins. And Nick, if you're not familiar, we just go through kind of like the Eliminator Challenge and pick one game every week that we think will be a guaranteed win for that team.
Okay.
And we'll start with Dan. So what do you think?
I will have one that I don't think will have any objections. The Patriots over the Bills. I lost last week because of Dallas, your team. So this one, I'm just going to pick the most obvious one. I haven't picked the Patriots yet. If the Bills actually beat the Patriots, I might be done playing this game.
Well, with mine, it's kind of risky because every game this team plays in is close. And I'm going to go and take the Bengals over the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns just been playing in close games all the time. But I think the Bengals, they're different this year.
The Bengals don't play the Browns.
The Bengals don't play the Browns this week?
It's the Steelers.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong
Bengals Bucks.
Oh, the Bengals over the Bucks. That's what I meant to say. But I'm taking the Bengals over the Bucks because I don't believe in Jameis. I was looking at the wrong week. I'm still going to take the Bengals, though. Jameis Winston just really hasn't been doing much. And Fitzpatrick's gone. And I just think the Bucks team, after that hot start, they're just going to go downhill. So I'm going to go Bengals in this one. They've been looking pretty solid this year. And I think they can keep it up so far.
Going Chiefs over the Broncos. Chiefs are going to keep their hot streak going. After the loss to the Patriots, they bounced back last week, had a very good week. And they're going to win, and they're going to, you know, keep winning. They're going to be one of the favorites in the AFC going in.
Yeah, probably.
I don't disagree with that.
Nice. Patrick Mahomes is a problem. Like, he's nuts. He is.
Yeah, he's really good. Well, that's going to wrap up week 8 of the Logic Sports NFL Sunday podcast. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday. Well, Nick won't be here, but he'll talk to you on Friday.
Yep.
But me and Dan will be here, and the show will be back on Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @PodcastLogic, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good one.